16. When I introduced this passage of Scripture, I wanted to impress upon us the seriousness of it. The seriousness of it. But yet, I don't want us to be morose concerning this. This is our salvation. This is joy is to be found in these pages and these verses. But let me introduce tonight's message in the form of an illustration. Have you ever been given a job to do by someone who is very particular, very demanding, like a boss, say, or perhaps your father or a parent or whoever? Been given a job with specific instructions. Do it my way. Somebody who's real demanding. Do this, that, my way. That person wants things done her way, or their way. I really gave myself away. Their way. And do it or else. Well, say you started doing that job. And you didn't do it exactly like she wanted it, like they wanted it. But you began to improvise. Now, they gave you a list of things to do, and you said, I wouldn't do it that way. I want to do it this way. I don't care for that way. Well, if that person had any authority, you would incur their wrath, wouldn't you? You would incur their wrath. But suppose you did it all. Suppose you did everything that they required, everything that was on the list. You did it all, but you did it reluctantly. Well, I don't want to. I remember doing this as a teenager, you know. Mom, they gave us duties. And, oh, Mom, do I have to? You know. Yes. And do it right, or you have to do it over. Have you heard that before? Well, you do it all the way it's supposed to be done, but reluctantly. How will that person treat you? How will the one who gave you the work? Well, you'll still be under their displeasure, won't you? Oh, you ungrateful little. You ought to do more. But suppose that they gave you a job to do, and you did it cheerfully. Yes, I'll do it. Did it perfectly, exactly like they wanted it done, cheerfully, and more. Went beyond what was required of you. How would that person feel about you?
You'd probably get a promotion.
Pat on the back and attaboy or something, you know. I'm doing it that way. Well, that's very familiar terms there, but I think you'll remember that. This is the way the Lord Jesus Christ is pleading with His Heavenly Father here. Everything that you sent me to do, I did it, and more. And more. I went above and beyond the call of duty. Let me illustrate again this thing of imputed righteousness. I thought about that. Imputed righteousness? Just suppose you gave your lazy teenager. I'm always picking on teenagers, but they need to be picked on. You had a teenager, lazy, like I was, lazy, no good, worthless, no good to anybody, just eats all your food and sleeps in your house and this and that and drives all your gas out of your car. Well, you gave them something to do, and they refused to do it.
Didn't want to do it. But suppose Big Brother came along, and he knew they'd be in a heap of trouble if they didn't get it done, if he didn't get it done. And Big Brother went about doing it, and he did it just like Dad or Mom said for him to do it. Did more. Did a good job. And then when Mom and Dad got home, he gave Brother the credit. That's imputed righteousness. Christ did everything that was required of us. We didn't want to do it, didn't have the ability to do it. But when the Father looks at us, it's as if we did it.
That's imputed righteousness. And the Son is pleading with the Holy Father here, the righteous God and Heavenly Father. And he's saying that he went above and beyond the call of duty here. Above and beyond. Willingly, cheerfully, gladfully, faithfully. He did everything that the Father gave for him to do and more. Glorified, magnified the law. Not only did he keep the law, he magnified the law. Not only did he not commit murder, but he loved his neighbor as himself more. He died for his neighbor. That's what he did. He went above and beyond, and he did it for us. No good rebels. That's who he did it for. And this is the tenor of this whole prayer. Everything in here, he's saying, God, I did it. I did it for your glory and for him, for her. I did it for them. That's the whole tenor of this prayer. And he says here in verse 2, let's look back there just a minute. He says, the Father gave him power over all flesh, ability to rule, to give eternal life to as many as God gave him. And Christ said, I did it. I've done it. I've given them eternal life. And now down here in verse 4, he says the Father gave him something else to do. This is where we left off. He says, Father, I've glorified thee on the earth. I've finished the work you gave me to do. What is the work that the Father gave Christ to do?
Glorify me.
Glorify me. He said he was jealous for his name's sake, that the people of the earth weren't glorifying him. They sent his son and sat down there, and he said, now you glorify me like a man ought to glorify me. And he did it. He did it. And he charged it to your account, Terry Kinsler, as if you're the one that did it. The work of Jesus Christ that God gave Christ to do was to glorify him. Every creature, every event in heaven, earth, and hell is for the glory of God Almighty, including us. All things were created by him and for him, for his glory. Isn't this the chief end of man? To glorify God Almighty? But we don't do it, do we? The Scripture says, what about us? We've come short of that glory. There's nobody in here who has given God one ounce of the glory that he deserves. This man did, from the cradle to the grave. Every hour, every minute, every second, for 33 and a third years, he glorified God Almighty as a man. And in the end, after he lived this life, the Lord God looked down upon him from heaven and said, that's my boy. That's good. You remember when he looked upon the earth after he created it and said, it's good. Well, he looked upon his son that lived a life in glory to him, perfect glory to him and more, and said, now that's the way it's supposed to be done. I'm well pleased with my son. And you know what he turned around and did? Turned around and imputed to that old wretch's account. Made it look like you did it, Rick. Don't give me the credit for this. Give it to him. Give me his rebellion and his sin and his wretchedness and his wickedness. Give that to me and kill me. Give me what he's got coming to him and give him what I've got coming to me. That's the gospel in a few short terms. My soul. Unspeakable. That's the reason Paul calls it unspeakable gift. Who can imagine? Henry, can you imagine taking the blame for something you didn't do? I mean, the awful shame, guilt, torture, all of these things that he went through for something you didn't do. It's unspeakable, isn't it? It's unthinkable. We just can't fathom that. He did it. He did it. And charged it to our account. He says, I've glorified you on the earth. I finished the work you gave me to do. Now, verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me. I've glorified you. Now I've got every right myself to be. It's the only man that ever could take credit for what he's done. Now glorify me. And the Father delights to do so. Just like your children, if they do a job, you delight to bestow things upon them, don't you? If they do something that's required of them, you delight to show favors and all to them. And this is what the Son is saying. And the Father says he has. And he will. Do you remember when he said it from heaven? I've both glorified it and I'll do it again. I'll do it again. Because of a job well done. And the Scripture says that he gave him, because of what he did, he gave him a name which is above every name. Now stay with me here. This thing got real big. When I was studying this, it got big. I was just amazed at everything that comes out of this. Look at verse 5 again. O Father, glorify thou me with
thine own self.
What did he say to Abraham? You remember when Abraham was so downcast and all that because Lot got the good land and Abraham was getting old scruffy hillside and this and that and the other, and everybody was running all over Abraham, and Abraham was downcast. And the Lord, what did the Lord say to Abraham there in Genesis 15? He said, Abraham, let Lot have that piece of dirt. You got me. I am thy exceeding great portion. You get me. Eternal life and everything that comes with me. You get me. Terry Kinsley, you're an heir, a joint heir with Christ. That's what you get. Let the world have all these riches. They do, don't they? They got it. You're an heir, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Goodness, my. And that's what the Son is saying. Glorify me with your own self. With your own self. And the Father did. He gave him a name, which is above every name. He gave him the name Jesus, Savior. Don't name your children. There's some people named by these names, but this can be said of no other. Jesus, Savior. Christ, the Anointed, the Messiah. There's only one man ever chosen by God Almighty. This one. Everybody else is chosen in Him. In Christ. And with thine own self, He gave Him the ultimate name. What did it say? He given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that He's, what's that name? Lord. Oh, wait a minute, I thought there was only one. There He is. The Father said, we're equal now. Me and my Son. Call us by the same name. Like taking a bride. She should be honored to have her husband's name. Got the same name. Lord. Declared Him to be equal with the God. Every knee will bow to the Son just like they do to the Father. Because of what He did. Because of His obedience. That's what He said over in Hebrews. Remember? Under the Son He saith, thy throne, O God, is forever. Under which of the angels did He say that? None. Except this one. And you know what? It says there in verse 5 that He always had that glory. Look at it. He said, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was, before I was made a little lower than the angels, I was equal with the Father then. I was daily His delight. Where's that scripture?
I was with Him.
Proverbs 8, is that it? I was with Him in the beginning. I was daily His delight. We had one. We were equal in glory. He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He was the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, having no father, no mother, no beginning, no end. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end. He's the first and the last. He's God Almighty, always has been, always will be. There's a little interval in there where He was God and man, but no more. Now He's ascended to the right hand of the Father, and He's Lord. And the glory of God, He read it tonight, is seen in the face. God Himself is seen in the person of Jesus Christ. So this was His primary work that God gave Him to do, was to glorify the Father. And I'm going to hurry. And to save and to sanctify people. Set apart a people. And to save those people. To make them new creatures. To conform them to His image. To make them all a whole bunch of boys and girls just like Himself. So that the Father will receive them. Mindy was giving our children this morning an interesting illustration about maggots. How that they're despicable. That we can't stand to look upon maggots. And that's what the Scriptures calls us. Worms. Maggots. Look it up. That's the root word. Maggots. And God can't stand to look upon us. Do you remember that, Jennifer, when she's talking about this morning? God can't stand to look upon us. How is He going to look upon us and have anything to do with us? He's going to have to turn this maggot into a son. How did He do that? By becoming a maggot. By becoming a maggot. Well, He gives eternal life. Eternal life, saving His people, giving them eternal life. And that's more than just the duration of it. That's the quality of it. He turns maggots into men. Turns maggots into sons of God. Holiness, righteousness, communion, love, and favor with God Almighty. And the way that Christ does this, and glorifies the Father, and saves His people at the same time. Look at this, verse 6. Now, buddy, I really got in deep right here. Now you're going to be blessed if you follow with me right here in verse 6. Look at it. Christ said, I have manifested
thy name
unto the men which thou gavest me. Father gave him a work to do. He gave him men to keep. He gave him power over all flesh. He gave him words. And down in verse 22, gave him the glory. But he says, I've manifested your name unto these men that you gave me, that you chose, these elect of God, these loved by God before the foundation of the world. I've manifested the name of God unto these men which thou gavest me out of the Word. Now turn over to Revelation chapter 2 with me. Look at this. You're going to enjoy this. Christ came to reveal God to men. To reveal God to men by another name. Now listen. Another name. He was revealed throughout the Old Testament in various places by these names, by different names. He was revealed by the name of Elohim, Yah, that is I Am, Emmanuel, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Sidkenu, Jehovah Shema, Jehovah Rea, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Rapha, all these names and so forth. There may be others. But there's another name
that only a select few know about.
Look here in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. Look at it. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Now listen. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. That's the bread of life. That's Christ. And will give him a white stone. And in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth,
saving him that receives it. Nobody knows what this name is, save those that receive this name. Now remember that. Remember that. No man knows this name save those that receive it.
What is this name? And before you answer it, turn over to Revelation chapter 19 with me. Revelation 19. Do you know this name? Revelation 19. Look at this. Man, this jumped out at me. My. Revelation 19, verse 12. His eyes. Now, this is a description of the Lord Jesus Christ. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and upon his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and the few remember that he conferred it upon. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called
the Word. Nobody knows this name save them to whom receive it from him.
Everybody doesn't know and understand the depth of the meaning of this name, the Word. The Word. The Word. The Word of God. Didn't he say in one place,
thou hast magnified thy Word above all thy name?
Didn't he say in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God? Didn't he say we're all born again, not of incorruptible, or not of corruptible, but incorruptible,
by the Word of God?
Didn't Christ say, he that has seen me, the Word, has seen the Father? Have you seen,
now listen to this,
have you seen God, the Word, in the Word of God? Have you? You've got that name conferred upon you. The Word became flesh, the Scripture says, and dwelt among us. Peter says, now listen. Listen to this. We were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Peter said, we saw Him. We beheld Him. We touched Him. We lived with Him. We heard His voice. We touched Him. We handled Him. We lived with Him. We saw His miracles. But
you have a more what? Sure Word of prophecy.
Turn over to 1 John. If it hadn't hit you yet, turn over to 1 John chapter 5 with me. 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse 7. 1 John 5, verse 7. Now there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, that is the word and the testimony of men, the witness of God is greater. And this is the word, the witness of God, which he testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God has this word in him, abided in him, this witness of God. He has it in himself. He that believeth not made God a liar, because he believeth not the record, the word, the testimony God gave of his Son. This is the record, this is the word, this is the testimony, this is the gospel. That God has given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that not hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now look at verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe. It's just written for believers. Do you believe it? All of it? Do you? Huh? Do you see the word of God as being Christ? Do you? Yeah, I believe some of you do. The word of God as being Christ. Do you see Christ on every page? What did he say? Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Everybody doesn't see it, do they? Blessed are your ears. They hear when the word, you hear Christ. Every one of you see things. Barbara preached to me 20 minutes after the message this morning. She saw things I didn't see about Christ. And whoever reads or preaches or whatever, you'll see things. Christ will keep popping up. Blessed are your eyes and your ears. You see the word in the word. Everybody doesn't see that. Everybody just sees it sometimes, most of the time as black and white. Remember over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, when Moses is read, the Old Testament, the veil was on their eye. Not us. Just opens up. Look back at chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1. Christ is the spoken word. You remember all those, there's several revelations of the Lord in the Old Testament, like when he appeared to Abraham on the plains, when he appeared to Lot, the Lord. Look him up. That's Christ. Yeah, it is. When he appeared to Jacob. Many different, Melchizedek, that's the Lord. If you study that, he's the Lord. That's who Melchizedek is. He's the Son of God. That's Christ in the Old Testament. That's who that is. And he spoke. He was here then. He was here when he came. And Christ was the incarnate Word. He was made flesh. And Christ is the written Word. Yeah, he is. He's as much alive in these pages. How else can you explain it? His Spirit is in it. 1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, our hands have handled, the Word. What do you think about this book? So you're getting mystical on us. I wish I believed the full import of that. That Terry, he actually speaks. And you can actually see him. Yeah, you can. Yes, you can. And if you've seen him in the pages of this book as being all and in all, not a part of the plan, not separate from other stories, not he's over here and he's over there, but this is that and that's this. No, as all, as his story, the history, his story, a hymn book, you know. If you see that, then you were given to Christ by God the Father in the very beginning. You're a child of God Almighty. We'll look back at the text real fast. And this is what he said. This is what he says here in verse 6. He says, Father, I've given them, I've manifested your name unto the men which thou gavest me. What was that name? The Word. The Word, a new name. The Word of God. I've manifested that name. And everybody doesn't understand it. Can't enter into it. Can't see Christ as being the Word. Unto the men you gave me, thine they were. You loved them, you chose them, you adopted them from the very beginning. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have
kept thy word.
Now what does it say? They've kept thy word. Let me read these verses to you. Christ said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Listen to this. It says in John 8:51, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Listen to this. We looked at this in John 14. Look at this. Verse 21. He says, he that hath my commandments, that is my word, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I'll love him and will manifest myself to him. Well, one of the men said, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto... Turn back to that. You've got to see this. John 14. Verse 22. And this is what I was just talking about. This is where your eyes are blessed above all people on the face of the earth. And your ears are blessed above all ears on the face of the earth. You're hearing something that everybody's not hearing. The Word. And not just in theory. Yeah, what do you preach down there? We preach the Word. Do you yet? You know, think about that when you hear somebody. We just dwell on the Word. Do you? Christ? Well, all the Word. He is. He's all. It ain't all. Look at this. Judas, that's what Judas said unto him. Lord, how is it you will manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world? And Christ said unto them, if a man love me, he'll keep my Word. And my Father will love him. That's how I'm going to manifest myself to you and not to others. Believe the Word, the record. Believe him. Well, quickly, verse 7. Now. And when it talks about keeping the Word, what he's talking about there is taking it to heart. Believing on it. Trusting. I mean acting on it too. Taking him to heart, believing, acting upon him. Now, Father, he says in verse 7, they have known. Now they've known. How? By the word. That all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. How? Through the preaching of the word. You know that all things, through the preaching of the word, Terry, you know that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the books of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. What? What about? Concerning Christ, right? Now you know. That in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are, now you know, you're complete in Him through the preaching of the Word. Now you know, now they knew that He was all and in all. Oh, the Word of God, the voice of God, the revelation, the authority of God. Ah, boy. Now they have known. And one more verse of Scripture and I'll quit. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and I'll quit. Let's just read here. Hebrews chapter 1. This is more than just a book. This is more than just a book. This is the Word of the living God. I wish that I could be impressed with this, and us. We would treat it accordingly. This is more than just a book. More. And this prayer we're reading, it's more than just a prayer. Because the man that prayed it was more than just a man. Who was he? Look here. God at sundry times and in different manners spake in time past unto the Father by the prophets. God hath in these last days spoken unto us by Son. That word His is not in the original. He speaks in Son language. The language of the Son. So you're really getting mystical now. No.
Sign language.
Can you decipher it? Can you hear it? Do you know it? Can you speak it? Can you understand it? Sign language? Can you? I think some of you can. Sign language. God has spoken unto us in sign language. All about Christ. If you do, my, Christ is praying about you. Now they know. Now they know. I've given them the words that you gave me. They kept them. They believe them. They believe them. And they're bound for glory. Ah, boy, someday we're going to actually hear that voice that now we read about, and now we just hear by faith. Faith will give way to sight and actual hearing. That voice, the one that prayed that prayer. But right now, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto we do well to take heed. As a day star, light that shineth in a dark day star that arises, is more than a book. More than a book. More than a prayer, and more than just a man. This is the language of God here. And He speaks. He speaks to us through the pages of this book. Whew, man, I'm thankful for it. Thankful that He's given us an understanding. Okay, stand with me and I'll dismiss this in prayer.